Love is at the heart of our readings, especially our second reading. That very famous part from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. We're all familiar with it, especially when we attend a wedding. But I think what really could help us to dive deeper into it is taking a line from the first letter of St. John, where St. John proclaimed that God is love. If we are to have that very mindset, you can understand then why St. Paul will say that if I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, that is, do not have God, I'm a resounding gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all knowledge, but I do not have love, that is, I do not have God, I am nothing. St. Paul then is understanding that, you know, what is crucial in the spiritual life is to be filled with love. That is, to be filled with God Himself, who is the essence of love. Because when we hear, love is patient, love is kind, that is God Himself. Patient with each and every single one of us, especially myself. That God is showing His kindness, His mercy, every single time we enter into the confessional. Every time we come to Mass as He offers His only Son upon the altar. God is love itself. Now, when we look at this, then what is this patience, this kindness, to not be pompous or rude or to seek our own interests? What is love then trying to do? What is God always doing? He's willing our good. That's at least what St. Thomas Aquinas said. That love is willing the good of the other for the sake of the other. And that's what God does at every single moment for you and me. He is always willing our good for the sake, not of Himself, but for our sake. That's why He shows us mercy in the confessional. That's why He gives us His Son upon this altar in the Eucharist. It's for our good. That's why Jesus dies upon the cross. For our good, not for His own. And that's what is so special when we look at that very first reading where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. Do you see then how love has been willing our good for all eternity? It has never stopped. A million years ago, God already had us in mind, already willing our good. The moment we're conceived, to the very moment right now, God has always been willing our good. For He says, for it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, that anyone then who will fight against you will not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you. That's the God willing our good. Always beside us, especially in the spiritual battle, as Satan is always trying to attack us, always trying to trip us up. Satan has no desire to will our good. Satan has only one desire, to bring about eternal punishment upon us, which is not for our good, but for his own pleasure, his own enjoyment. And it's the understanding then, as God is offering Himself, constantly willing my good, willing your good, for our own sake. Because He's made us in His image and likeness. We come to this very gospel. And it's interesting how they all spoke highly of Him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from His mouth. Jesus had just said, as we remember from last Sunday, I have come to set the captive free. I have come to announce a day favorable of the Lord, a year acceptable to Him. He is speaking as the Messiah, as he truly is. And as the people hear this, and he says, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. The excitement that's in them, that, wow, the Messiah is among us. He's coming to will our good. But then came the question, isn't this the son of Joseph? Isn't he one of us? Isn't he from Nazareth? We can lay claim to him. We can keep him for ourselves. And the Lord then says, no. He brings up Elijah. He brings up Elisha. Those examples that God goes out to every person to will their good. He goes out to seek their very benefit. It was not meant just to be closed in a little town of Nazareth. It was not just to be among one nation of the Israelites. For when we heard the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah was to be a prophet to the nations, to everyone. So how much more should Christ, the Son of God, who is always willing every person's good, always seeking what is best for them, would not want it to be confined in one little town or among one nation. He wants to come for all of us. Everyone's. Now the thing is that's what makes the people mad. That's why they rose up in fury, because they did not have love within them. They were not seeking the will of the good of others. They just wanted the good for themselves. And the moment we try just to keep love to ourselves, that love dies. And it becomes greed, pride, lust, envy, wrath. We can go through all the deadly sins. That's what happens when we contain love within us. When we don't let it boil over and to be flowing out from us. When we're not willing to will the good of another person for the sake of others. When we fail to act in the image and likeness of God that we've been created. And my brothers and sisters, that's why the mass is so important for us. Because we see that God is love. God is willing our good every single time we come to mass. Wanting to pour himself out into us. But it's not then for us just to keep it to ourselves. But it's meant to be shared. That we are to will the good of others. Our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our classmates, the elderly, the immigrant, the unborn. Every single person, as God is willing their good, so too should we do the same, to imitate that very love, to will the good of every single person. Because that's what God does for us at every single moment, and especially through the Eucharist. So as we approach our Lord tonight to receive him into us, may we receive him with that great joy as what was at the beginning of the gospel. And let that love, though, grow within us, and to share it, to pass it on, so that we may make more room for that love, make more room for God himself in our hearts and in all that we do. Praise be Jesus Christ through his mother Mary, now and forever. Amen. Amen.